Jesus.
I've been born again.
Hallelujah.
Worship Jesus. I'm going to heaven, washed in the blood of the Lamb, free from sin. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not only free from the condemnation of sin, I'm free from having to sin. Hallelujah. And the want to is not there. But if the want to shows up, I have something. I have something. I have a born again spirit. Hallelujah. That's just who I am. Well, I'm not filled with a spirit, Pastor. I'm not talking about the Holy Ghost. You and me and anybody that's been born again. Oh, he's icing on the cake. The Holy Ghost will back up your decision to live free. We're free this morning. Hallelujah. We're free, Kirsten. Hallelujah. You're so beautiful. Give somebody a great big hug this morning. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that you've brought us here together. And Lord, we thank you for every willful choice that was made by everyone that is here this morning, that chose to get up and go forward and chose to come and hear the word of God and experience the power of God. Lord, we love you and we thank you. God, we thank you that we're on the road to revival and we are experiencing present tense, the fruits of revival. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Did everybody get a hug this morning? Does everybody feel loved this morning? Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 127. That's where we'll start. I'm not sure where all will go, but that's where we'll start. Hallelujah. Last night, this is not anything to do with the sermon per se, but last night we got an opportunity to go over to the church on Immokalee Road with several of our young adults, and Candy and myself being the youngest of all those adults. And we got an opportunity to go to the church on Immokalee Road, which is pastored by John Henson. I'm telling you this for a number of different reasons. One, we were extremely blessed. They're a communal church. They have properties that are all spread out, and people come there to live and to work and to be part of that community. They are a wonderful church, and they're, if there was any specialty in of ministry they have, is the ministry of love, reconciliation, healing, and deliverance. They really have a strong deliverance ministry. And it's not always, he does believe in laying on of hands, but it's not always laying on of hands and casting out in that way. He's had through the years, probably, I think he said last night, 2,000 to 3,000 people that has come through his program. I don't know myself probably of another successful type program, a ministry I should say, than the one they have. And it's so wonderful. A man walks in extreme love and compassion, and he's 90 years old, and he does not look 90, nor does he act 90. He looks and acts 20 years at least, or 30 years at least, younger. And one of the guys that was there worshiping in that group last night, there was probably 60, 70 people in a small room, and it was really wonderful. They asked me to speak. There was two other preachers. So when there's preachers around, I try to be gracious because I know preachers can be really long-winded. And so I did about 10 minutes, and that's all. So I let the other guys go ahead and say what they need to say. And they said some really good stuff. But the amazing part is Brother John has such a loving ministry, and he loves people, and people do sincerely get help there. People that are suicidal, people that are depressed, people that have come from all kinds of horrible, horrible backgrounds, and they come there and they get the love of Jesus, and they get devils loved out of them. Praise the Lord. He's 90, and he had another man worshiping there that was part of his group that was 99. Yeah, And Marty told me he was associated with them, and some of those people worked for him in the years gone by. And he said, the one guy that was 99 now, he said he remembers when he was working for him, that guy was still jogging and running and whatever in his 80s. And he said he had a friend that would come up on a 10-speed that would be coming in from wherever, and he was up in his 80s, right? So those people have got they've got the fountain of life. Hallelujah. But anyhow, he's going to be here next Sunday, and a lot of you want him to lay his hands on you, don't you? Hallelujah. Praise God. And he's going to share with us, and the Bible says to give honor where honor is due. The man loves God. He's filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Prays in tongues, and teaches a sound doctrine concerning deliverance. And we'll get to hear him next week, and I'm excited about that. His son, that is a lawyer that lives on the East Coast, was sitting at the table that I was sitting at, and he was sitting there, and his son was healed at an early age, just a small kid, of an incurable disease, and I don't remember exactly what that was, but was something that I believe was a killer disease. And John gives a testimony that before John knew the Lord, his wife knew the Lord, but they were Baptist. They were just young in the Lord. And the Lord appeared to all three of them. The Lord appeared to his son individually. He appeared to his wife. And the Lord appeared to John in a dream and shared his healing power and came in and healed that young boy that was incurable, and it made a tremendous impression on the medical field and those that were ministering to him over, I believe, in the Miami area. So that's what got him started, and they went into the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and for the last 50 years, he's been ministering to people that really, really needed it. So I'm excited about next Sunday. Hallelujah. We're going to have a really good time. Hallelujah. We're just going to share some this morning and kind of make some of this impromptu. We had the best time Friday night. Well, it was really, really good, wasn't it? It's one of our best. We went to like just a little bit before 10, quarter of, and the power of God was in here real strong, but in a different way. And just reaccounting the wonder years and everything that God has done in the last several years in this ministry. But I want you to look at Psalms 127 with me, and let's look at verse 1 and 2, and maybe following, but just 1 and 2 especially. Except the Lord build the house. Are you looking at it with me? They labor in vain that build it. You know, if we're going to talk about the house this morning, we're talking about two different things. We're talking about this house, the ministry of this house, and your own house, which is your walk with the Lord. But collectively, as we all come together, we make up the body of Christ. And one thing that we don't want to do is we don't want to labor in vain. And the Word of God says here, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. You know what the watchman was in antiquity or in the ancient world? There was most of the big cities were walled. And they had an assignment where men or a group of men would take guard through the night. And whatever time, if you were from 2 to 6 or whatever your time was, that was the time that you were to be on the wall, and you were supposed to be the watchman, and you were supposed to be making sure that the city was protected. But the Word says here that except the Lord is the keeper of the city, they that watch, the watchman that waketh, he does it what? In vain, meaning it's vanity to him. Except the Lord gets involved with the person that is building the house, except he's part of it, unless you are able to understand what his mind is and how to integrate his mind. See, everybody, I don't want to say everybody, but do you know how many churches and how many good groups of people aspire to having an outpouring, to having God work a tremendous work in their midst so strong that he'll come, and that the things that we see from the Word of God in the book of Acts, that those things are duplicated again. Do you know how many people and how many people groups have aspired for that through the years? Thousands and thousands and thousands. Do you know how many usually attain to it or are able to continue to attain to it? Usually you can count them on one hand and have some fingers left over. Verse 2 says this, "It's vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow, for so he giveth his beloved," what? Sleep. He gives his beloved sleep. And what he's talking about here is this. It's not talking about that there won't be times that the Lord will wake you up and the Lord will say, you need to pray, or you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to sacrifice some of your time to go in. That's not what he's saying. He's saying when you're the one that's doing it, when you're laboring and your labor is of yourself, that it's a vanity. It's a vanity. It will not produce. Well, hallelujah, by the grace of God, not because we're anything in and of ourselves, we learned a long time ago and are still learning that if you want to go any place, you better incorporate the Holy Spirit. You better learn how to get the Holy Spirit involved. Except the Lord, now I'll read it again, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, or so to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, so he giveth his beloved sleep. Well, one of the things that we have desired with all of our hearts in this place is to allow the Holy Spirit to continue from day one to build. Now, this morning is a celebration. It really is. It's an extreme celebration, whether you know it or not. Because 18 years ago, this month, this weekend, this very weekend, a bunch of guys came over in pickup trucks and moved Candy, myself, and my girls over to Immokalee. And this Sunday, then, would have been the first Sunday 18 years ago that I stepped into the pulpit on a full-time, live-here-all-the-time basis. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! So this is a celebration Sunday. Glory be to God. It's something to be thankful for. It's something to be worshiping the Lord for. During that time, the march of that year, I was seeking the Lord. Prior to that, going into those months of that first few months of 1997. It was 1997, and I was seeking the Lord. And I had already pastored this church for 2 years previously, or continuously leading up to that point. Actually, I've been here 20 plus years, about a little over 20 years, probably 21 years close to it. But actually living here in full time 18 years today. But in those 2 years, those were 2 years, we have a saying, was that before Dave or was that after Dave? And those couple of years were before Dave Roberson, before the walk of the Spirit that we know presently that I was on. I love the Lord, graduated from a Bible college, which is now a university. I was driving back and forth on the weekends and midweek to Immokalee 3 or 4 times a week. And there was a little ministry in a church, a little house down the street here. Some of you have attended that with us. And that was 2 or 3 years prior to us getting into this building. I began to get so hungry for the Lord that I began to cry out. Do you know the prerequisite for God to move in your life is hunger. You got to want more. As long as you're satisfied with where you're at, there will be no advancement. There will be no changing. The other thing is this. It's not hard, really. It's not, I'm not going to say it's effortless. That would be a misnomer. But it's not hard to live a holy life once you fall head over heels in love with God. Once you begin to get so hungry for Him and say, Lord, I don't want to live my own life. I want to live your life. Hallelujah. I want to live your life. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So I begin to get so hungry for the things of God. And I begin to say, Lord, send me a mentor. Send me someone that would, Lord, teach me how to go into the next level. And that year, that particular year, March of 97, is the first year that I went to Tulsa. A lot of things happened. I got hungry. The Lord began to show me how to continually, deliberately pray in tongues for many, many hours a day and to read the Word consecutively hundreds of times through the New Testament or through those particular books. But what happened was the Lord began to transition our life. As the Lord began to transition our life through that hunger, it was amazing. I said, Lord, I don't know how to do this. I really don't know how to come from where I'm at, because at that time we had a very large construction company. And many of you heard this testimony before. We had a very nice home. It was on an acre of land. It was totally enfenced. I had a barn out back and, praise God, a jacuzzi on the back porch. Hallelujah. And I would sit in that jacuzzi and I would say, you know, when I'd come home from work and after I got my men started and stuff, and I would say, you know what, Candy? I said, life is really difficult. The bubbles would be shooting you the air. You know, Candy, can you change the aerator here? Can make it shoot my back a little bit better? I said, life is really hard, but somebody's got to do it, baby. Somebody's got to do it. Good times. Hallelujah. I didn't know that praying in tongues would bring me to Immokalee, but it did. Hallelujah. Tim Stemple says that God is, he won't deceive you, but he is tricky. God will trick you. He did. He was baiting me. Come on over here. And I thought, I'm just going to come over there and lead a Bible study. And then God, you know, and I know that there are certain people that God used to do that. I'm not going to mention any names, but praise God that, you know, I don't have to, Sister Barbara. Hallelujah. But we had people praying. And so I was like, you know, I've got this big home. I've got this big, company with all these men going. It felt good to drive up, you know, on the job site and sit in the air-conditioned truck and watch all those guys making me money. That feels really good. And so I was like, Lord, how do I do this? You know, how do I do that? There is no, I've got contracts. You know, I've signed future contracts, which would take me into months ahead. And a long story short, the grace of God come upon me. If you said, Pastor, man, you really, really did something. That was amazing what you're about to tell us. And some of you heard it before. I would say, yeah, but I didn't do that. All I did was I said yes to it. I just said yes to it. And the house was one thing. It wouldn't sell. I had it on the market for about a year. And it wouldn't sell, although we kept dropping the price. It was a nice 3 or 4 bedroom, however you want to look at it. And the Lord began to say to me, look, here's a plan. Why don't you go to the guy that's next door? He's the guy that sold it to you. It was an owner of finance. And he said, why don't you just ask him, because he had sold it to me on an owner finance and given me like an exceptional, you know, percentage rate, so that almost everything that I was paying in was going towards principal. And I was at that time paying, I don't mind to tell you, I mean, it's nothing today, but 20 years ago it was something. It was $1,000 a month with no principal, with no interest, so most of it was going to principal. And so I was making plenty of money, could pay that $1,000 a month, and then he had me making principal payments every once in a while, and I don't know how many of those I really made. I can't remember. I do remember, you know, just, you know, giving him at least one time or maybe a few times. I'm not sure. $10,000 besides, you know, every 6 months or every once in a while, I'll give him a principal payment. So I'm saying that to say I had a lot invested. You know, there was an investment there. There was equity. There was good equity. And the Lord said to me, he said, why don't you go to, his name was Mr. Pelfrey. He goes, and I'm sure he's gone. I hope he made it, because he was up in years then, he and Mrs. Pelfrey. And the Lord said, why don't you go next door, ask them. They know you want to go into the ministry because you've told them a few times through conversations. Why don't you let them know that you want to go into ministry and you've not been able to sell this house? Why don't you ask them if you could give them this house back? And I thought to myself, no, wait a minute, is that defrauding them in any way? And it was like the Lord showed me, no, wait a minute. There's no, if you give it to him and you don't ask any money for it, and he turns around and resells it, that's a deal anybody should take. Because for 4.5 years, that's, well, you can do the math on that. That's over $50,000 plus principal payments. I mean, I had lots and lots and lots of money that I was going to say, okay, will you take this back? And when, if you want to, you can just, I'll just walk out of it. Well, I asked him that, and he said, well, yeah, I'll take that. I said, if I just walk out, I don't want nothing back or whatever, I'll just, yep, okay. And that's what we did. And the other thing, too, was within that week, I was like, okay, God, what do I do with all these contracts? I got equipment. I've got all these men. I had a business. My dad had a business. We were totally separate at that time. And I remember my dad was doing a bunch of houses not far from where I lived off of Daniels Road. And I called him and I said, Dad, can I meet you? And he said, sure. So I drove over there where he was at, got in his truck, and I said, you know, I'm wanting to go into ministry. And he said, yeah. I said, well, can I ask you, will you do something? Well, I said, will you, if I give you my business and you take all my equipment and all my men and all my contracts, would you do that? Well, that's another business that somebody's going to give you, and you don't have to go hire other people, and you don't have to go get equipment. And Daddy said, yep, I think I'll do that. Yeah, that's fine. So, hallelujah. We just, within the next couple of weeks, some guys from Immokalee came over and got us, and we came over here as the minority. And I found out what it feels like to be the minority. I found out what it felt like to send my girls to a school where they were the minority. But they became ghetto quick. Hallelujah. They became ghetto quick. I'm telling you. my daughter, Davy, can I say that when you ask her about who you're going to marry? Yeah. What? Because she was here, and I mean, you know us. It's like if I get real spiritual with it, like if anybody was to criticize me concerning racism or stuff, I'd like, would you get serious, you know? Like Paul said, I bear in my body the stripes of the Lord Jesus, so henceforth bother me no more. You know, be quiet, just hush. So if I say this, so what did you say? You're not going to marry a Spanish boy or something? Didn't you say that? Something like that. And she goes, she just got here or been here a couple of years or whatever. And she goes, what'd she tell you? No, she was only 12, but she goes, no, mommy, but I might have to move to Haiti. Prophecy. Prophecy. Blow that up. Hallelujah. So we did. Hallelujah. So we got Spanish grandkids. We got Haitian grandkids. And now we got Jewish grandkids. Hallelujah. Praise God for Michael. Michael saved me a lot of money. Yes, he did. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Turn with me. So since we need to make this spiritual, turn with me a couple more scriptures. 1 Corinthians 9:26. Hallelujah. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 9:26. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest at any means, that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now the key verse I really want you to catch there is this, 26. He says, I do not fight with uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. And that's where Paul was saying, look, I'm certain about what I'm doing, and I'm certain about where I'm going, and I'm certain about how to get there. See, one of the things that we have tried to do, and I'm not bragging on us because we've got a long ways to go, and I've got a long ways to go, and Homer will tell you he's got a long ways to go, and we're in a process of learning. But thank God for what we have understood about the power of the Holy Spirit and about praying in tongues and the mortification process, because I'm going to tell you this. Listen, you can spend your whole life beating the air. You can spend your whole life doing do-good ministries. You can spend your whole life involved. Listen, you guys know me, and anybody that would ever hear this, I would only preface it by saying I applaud any good thing that anybody does for humanity or ministry. But you can do a lot. The devil, now you can mark this down. You say, I don't agree with that. Well, I can prove it to you. I believe by the word of God. But the devil doesn't care so much. He'll fight it. But he'll let you get by with a feeding program. He'll let you get by with clothing the poor. He'll let you get by with a lot of different ministries. But brother and sister, the day and hour that you start praying consistently in other tongues, the day and hour, he'll fight. Listen, this may not make sense to you, but it's the truth. He'll fight praying in tongues harder than he will salvation even. What? Now, you got to be saved before you pray. I know that. But listen, I'm talking about as a whole coming to an organization or coming to a church. There's a lot of churches that'll get people born again, even in this community. They'll get them in the door. But brother and sister, you start teaching them the way to mortify and the way to go into power and the way to change and the way to truly live a holy life through the power of the Holy Spirit, you start teaching them that, and you better understand this, you are going to go up against the gates of hell. Oh, come on, I didn't get an amen, but you sure better believe it. Because the day and hour that you begin to stand up and say, we're going into revival and we're going to do the things that are necessary for revival, the gates of hell will begin to try to do everything to stop you. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Hallelujah. Come on, you got to help me preach this morning, people. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 16, verse 17. Yes. Okay, and Jesus, verse 17, and Jesus said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What was he going to build his rock upon? Well, then you have to back up just for a moment and find out. Jesus said, let's back up to verse 13. Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they, his disciples, said this to him, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. And he said unto them, now Jesus asked them, but who do you say that I am? Well, you've traveled with me. You've seen me. You've touched me. You've beheld me. You've listened to my words. Who do you think I am? Who do you say that I am? And then Simon Peter answered and said to him, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost had already revealed to Peter. Even though he's not yet born again, he'd already revealed to him that he was the true Son of God. Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, not Peter, but the rock of the revelation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what he's saying. On that revelation right there, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Hallelujah. Listen, gates, they don't march. They're stationary, but they exemplify the hordes of hell. Jesus said, if you have this revelation, at the end of Matthew 5, 6, and 7, he says, if you do these sayings of mine, all those sayings that he was talking about, he said, you'll be like this man, a man that builds his house upon a rock. And the floods will come, the winds will blow, the storms will come. And if you are founded on that rock, you will not fall. Your house will not crumble. Now listen, you've got to understand this. Like I said, 18 years ago when we started this together and we began to pray, we began to say, look, the key to this is we've got to go into the Lord, but we've got to go in and build the way that he wants us to build. We've got to go in and allow the Holy Spirit to teach us. Well, everybody says that. We want God's leadership. We want God's guidance. You know, every church should say that. But what are you doing methodically? What is the grassroots? What can you say? Okay, yes, we want God. Well, okay, that's right, that's good. Okay, we believe the Word of God. How many of you know that there shouldn't be a church here in Immokalee that if you went in and asked them and you said, do you want to follow God? Would they say, yes, we do, absolutely. What? How do you know? Many of them would say, because the Spirit is leading us. Amen. We believe that the Spirit must lead. How so? Well, we follow the Word of God. Well, how does the Holy Spirit lead you? What'd you say, Homer?
I ask him.
That's a good one. I ask him. How can you get him involved? What is the way that when you say, I heard him speak, that you know? See, because I hear a lot of preachers say, I heard him speak. I hear a lot of Christians say, I heard him speak. But what they're saying, that ain't the same Holy Ghost I know. At least he's not saying to them what he says to me. So there's a difference. Well, what could be the difference? If you get involved in letting him get involved in your life, on a continual basis. How so? By praying in other tongues. And by meditating the word along with that praying in other tongues. Well, what will happen? Then you'll begin to speak these things over a city. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, all those kinds of things. And say, Lord, send a supernatural revival. And again, I'm not minimizing other ministries, but the enemy will let you. Listen, the gates of hell, however angry you want to make the devil, start employing spiritual things against him. And it'll be like a hornet's nest. It'll be like a bunch of bees that you disrupted. Because if you don't think that the enemy sits, the gates of hell, just like we're sitting in this room this morning. Now, imagine, turn your mind, go to another place, imagine a spiritual realm. Well, I can't do that. Just imagine another setting where beings are at. They're beings, but they are, according to Ephesians chapter 6, in rank and file. Now, I don't know what they all look like, but I do know they have personalities. A suicidal devil or a fearful devil, when he attaches himself to a person, he comes in and they'll feel that fear. They'll feel that anxiety. A lustful devil, when he gets a hold of a man or a woman, It's lust. Secretly in their mind and what they're looking at or what they're touching or what they're feeling with their emotions. Jealousy, anger, all those things. There's hordes of them. There's millions of them. Are we defenseless? No. The blood of Jesus. But they meet like this. They have meetings. That's the gates of hell. And once you decide you're going to take over a region and say, we're going to see a revival where the blind see, the lame walk, and they say, look. They say, look. We had, Chester, the devil Chester, whatever you want to name him, he's directing us. And he had us all spread out. Kind of, we're going to hurt that ministry over there. We're going to make jealousy. We're going to split that church. We're going to cause that backbiting over there. We're going to cause the pastor to run off with Sister So-and-so over there. That guy's going to take the money and run off. And he's going to run off with, Sister So-and-so. And, but once they begin to hear any church, whether it's ours or two or three, where they begin to pray in tongues, where they begin to fast, when they begin to say, over this region we call the devils down, then there's an assignment shift, that says, we got to stop them first. But I'm going to tell you this, and all the glory to the risen Savior, after 18 years, they have not been able to stop us. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I called Homer this morning. I was telling him, I said, man, this is Celebration Sunday. I said, this is the first Sunday that I preached that you guys moved me over here. And I sent that to Jim, and it was a text letting Jim and Gary and Tim know that this was a Celebration Sunday for all of us, that 18 years ago on this particular weekend, that you, a lot of you guys moved, some whoever was still apart, moved us over, and this would have been the first Sunday that I preached. And that was early this morning while I was still praying. And so Jim, I just let you know, Jim was just here. He said, praise God, that's wonderful. He texts me back and says, you make the devil really mad and God really happy. Hallelujah. And then he texts me back and he said, if I were there, I'd take you for a big juicy steak for lunch. But since I'm not, I'll eat one here in your honor. Hallelujah. I said, man, that's really great, man. And then Gary, he just had to get real spiritual for a moment and almost make me cry. He said, faithfulness with an exclamation, a treasure of God. And then he gave me Luke 12:42-44. He says, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, find him so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. Hallelujah. And then he said, and then he texts me back. I said, thanks so much, Gary. He said, in a way, you were that rich young ruler who obeyed rather than walked away, sorrowful in disobedience. So I received that. Hallelujah. I told him, I said, keep it up, Gary. You almost got me crying as it is. And I said, thanks. But he said, and then he texts me back in a little bit. He said, I will join Jim. Of course, they live in different areas, He said, I will join Jim eating a steak today in your honor, or in your honor today. It's the least I can do. Man, I see that. See, that's friends for you right there. Hallelujah. That's really friends. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We begin to reaccount, and we still, may do some of that. Friday night, the Holy Spirit began to take over and began to, I wasn't even thinking about along this lines this morning. And in fact, Friday night, I didn't even think about this being a celebration service or an anniversary service per se. But we began to reaccount. You see, we come in here each Friday night and have for many, many years, and spoke confessions that we believe are congruent with the Word of God, based on or follow along right beside the Word of God, that we can speak with boldness. We speak those confessions. And I began to say, we're often looking for things to take place. And we're often in our confessions looking for things to be fulfilled. And I said, one of the things that we need to understand about our confessions, and we went to a number of different scriptures, Mark 11, 23, 22, 23, 24, and Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you have them. I mean, you got to receive it right now. But he also said, believe that it shall come to pass. So you got to receive it now, but some of it may have to come to pass. But you better receive it right now. Right now. That's when you receive it. Now I'm going to get my healing in the future. You're always going to be chasing that. You got to literally, that's not a play on words with Jesus. That's a literal truth. You've got to receive it right now, walk in it, and then don't change the way you say things from that point on. And it was like the Lord was also convicting us. And I said, man, I've been part of it too. I said, Lord, we went to a number of different scriptures. The one in the Word where the Word says, where he says, Lord, put a watch over my mouth. We went to James where it says, can a well bring forth sweet and bitter? And I said, I so much agree with Jim last week when he was talking about how that if you weren't on that Friday night service, he said how that you can nullify your Friday nights, that confession, by what you live and speak during the week. See, if I say this, even if it's funny, and it was not like I'm so condemned, but I did repent. We all repented Friday night. But here's what you can't say. If you're speaking over a city like a mockery, because I had a man stand in my backyard one time, and you don't know him, and I don't hold it against him. It didn't hold against him then. But a bunch of men were standing there, and he said, yeah. And he's in the ministry. He said, yeah. He said, the best thing they could ever do is to just build a wall around a mockery. Talking about, this is a terrible place, and nothing good comes out of a mockery. And I remembered this. That Gary Carpenter, the Holy Spirit through Gary Carpenter said, this city has been called Ichabod, which means the glory of the Lord departed. But I, the Spirit of God, said, I have called it Bethel, which means the house of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Therefore, because of it, you will not, if I do, I will repent. You will not, and you'll not hear me say anymore, well, that's how Mockley is. That's just like... It's just like, what was a couple of things that we said? How did I say it? Only in a mockery. You can't on Friday night say, I say a mockery is free. I say that it's sin free. I say that the walls of sin come down. And then when you hear something, well, only in a mockery. In other words, that's just the way the mockery is. Which is it going to be? See, the Holy Spirit can't honor the other stuff that you do if you play around with other stuff. Now, I'll play around with other stuff, but when it comes to serious stuff like that, I'm being convicted. Hallelujah. Why? Because we're going someplace. We're going someplace. We're going to a place where done becomes a living reality to us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hey, folks, 18 years... And I'm a survivor. And I probably shouldn't sing that song because it's probably not a good song, but I am a survivor. Hallelujah. We made it this far. And there has been some storms. Praise God. And it's not just been me. Man, I'm telling you, thank God for a godly wife who many times has said to me, she's rebuked me in a loving way. But she's had to tell me many times, Bronk, you just need to be a man about this. You need to pull up your, put on your big boy pants. What? Oh, I thought she didn't say. See, that's a woman of God for you. And there's many of you men have got women of God. And you men that are looking for a woman of God. See, I got the package. I got a beautiful wife, and I got a warrior too. Hallelujah. Now get you a Barbie. Get you a Barbie that just woo, woo, woo. And she falls apart when her fingernails break. She's not going to make revival. She's not going to make revival. Get you a package. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. That's why I just wish. Maybe I shouldn't even go there. I wish there was a way that we just could marry in the camp a lot. Because you get a woman or you get a man that, and see, I don't want us to ever get like cultish here, but here's the deal. If they can't understand, oh my God, what are you going to do? You're going to fast for 3 days. You're not going to call me like 10 times a day. I can't hear from you for the next 3 days. You're going to fast and pray. Wait till you get her. Wait till you marry her. Wait till you marry him. Under thumb. Hallelujah. In fact, here's a... okay, glory to God. Here's a litmus test. While you're dating them, if you do, guys do get into a relationship, see if you can rock the boat a little bit. Right in the middle of it, say, you know, I can't call you for the next 3 or 4 days. I'm going to be fasting and praying. And if devils start appearing, you'll know. Hallelujah. Just throw a little gas on the fire. How do we get in all these conversations like this? Hallelujah. We're having a good time. So in 18 years, it's like Kenneth Hagin said about headaches. He said, I haven't had a headache in 30 years or something, he said, 30 or 40 years. He said, I never have had a headache. And people looked at him and said, my God. Now, he said this. He said, I've had some marvelous opportunities to have one. I just did not accept them. Now, in 18 years, I've had some marvelous opportunities to leave in the middle of the night. And y'all just figure out where'd he go? What happened to him? Just, I've had some marvelous ones, marvelous. And sometimes I can't remember how many. Hallelujah. And when I would tell Candy, I'm not going to church today, she would remind me that you have to go to church because you are the pastor. She would help me. Hallelujah. But I want to thank all of y'all, too, because it hasn't just been a one-man show. It never is. Your faithfulness, your not just your giving, but your prayers and being here and fighting and fighting and fighting. If you've never, ever felt like leaving here, and if the devil hasn't come to you several times and tried to get you to leave, all I can say is you've never been in the fight with us. You haven't done enough in the spirit yet. If he hasn't come to you and said they're wrong, they're messed up, he doesn't, a million different things. If you've not felt like leaving yet, then jump into fire and fight with us. No, I don't want to. Hallelujah. If an elder is here and is trial free for 6 months, I won't make it that long. If he goes trial free for very long, that elder's not pulling with us. The elders I know that are in the fight are the ones that have been close to death. Say, that doesn't sound faithful. The ones that have been in the hospital, The ones that have had to fight tooth and toenail at times to live and survive, I know those elders are pulling hard. Glory be to God. The ones who've said, man, I can't hardly make my bills sometimes. Now, I'm just throwing out different trials. It's totally different for other people. It'd be fine. You know, some of you has never had that problem. But if the devil hasn't tried to destroy your marriage at times, you're not pulling with us. Glory be to God. Man, this is unusual. Hallelujah. Why? Because the gates of hell will march strong against a body that says, Lord, we want the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we said this Friday. We said he's already doing things. And our confessions are already making a difference. They're already making a tremendous difference. And I said, what ways can we think of? And I began to think of different things, you know, to start the motion, the inertia of our thoughts. And I know you can get technical about this. And I know that you can think of a lot of different things and tell me stuff that I don't know and I don't hear. But, and especially my son-in-law is a firefighter. He's all involved in emergency situations all over Lee County and, you know, and other places because he's got other jobs that he does. But I'm not hearing, even in our, you know, one of our Friday night confessions is the covering over. How do we say it? The roadways into Immokalee are highways of God. And what's the next one? Angels watch over and protect. All those traveling on Highway 82 and what's 846, Highway 29, Naples-Immokalee Road. Hallelujah. Do you know that he is? He is. Do you know that there are terrorists? We speak about the God foiling terrorist attacks. And people will think, wait a minute. Any time that they come up with and the news comes up and says this terrorist attack was foiled or it was they found out about it and they stopped it. You know who stopped it? We did. We did. The members of the body of Christ. If you begin to look at stuff and say, oh, that's happened. Listen, I am not hearing. There'll be seasons. I've heard of seasons. I've seen seasons, and I don't know why. And it's not just, you could give it the academics of natural things, but I've seen seasons where it seemed like every weekend somebody was getting killed on Highway 82. That's another thing, too. Once you begin to confess that, like the protection over, I can't say, you might say, and I'm not going to judge you, I can't say that's a killer highway. Well, wait a minute. God, you watch over that highway. And then I'm going to tell you, yes, sir, I know, that's a bad highway. I'm not going to say that's a bad highway. My family travels that highway all the time. You think I'm going to put a curse on that highway? That's a highway of God. Angels watch over and protect. Hallelujah. We're preaching real good this morning. Hallelujah. The doctors told her not to drive, and she drove anyway. Hallelujah. And God got her here last Sunday. Hallelujah. He protected her and everybody she passed. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, we're having if you say, well, no, that's happened, Chance, even like as far as things of terrorist attacks, what are some of the other things that we named? But if we said this, if we said, though, that's just happened, Chance, then what we're saying is what we are saying on a continual basis really doesn't have the effect that we're saying on a national basis, things are being stopped. Now, all the ones that have been, I know a lot of them went through. I know a lot of school shootings and mall shootings and all that stuff. But what about all the ones that we've stopped? What about all the ones that we've stopped? No telling how many. You say, well, you believe that we have an effect on, listen, if Noah was one man on the earth, if Elijah, and you say, well, I don't know about a little group here making any effect over 300 million people. Well, then you need to read your Bible. Because Elijah prayed over a nation, one man, and he stopped the rain for 3.5 years. And then he prayed again, and then the rains came. One guy. And all the other prophets could not, all of Humpty Dumpty's men could not put it back together until he said, you know, I'm going to do it. Because he knew God. He was one man that knew God. So we're making a difference. You're making a difference. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord this morning. Not that this is, I mean, I wish we had more here this morning. We got a got some maroon typhoon here and there, but that's okay. Hallelujah. We're being fought against. That's a privilege. But the gates of hell will not prevail. I believe that we're going to be here another 18 years, 36 years. Our posterity is going to take this over, and take it to the next generation. How many have been here with us at least 5 years? Stand up. Wow, that's fantastic. Okay, sit back down. How many have been here with us at least 10 years? Stand up. Wow, that's great. That's almost the same bunch. Fantastic. Sit back down. How many have been here 15 years? Oh, my goodness. Homer stood up in case you didn't see him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's give him a great big hand. And all everybody, has anybody been here the whole time that I've been here? Homer, hallelujah. Praise God. And Amber and Candy, hallelujah. All of you stand up. Let's give the Lord a great big praise offering this morning. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you. Lift your hands, would you? We praise and magnify you, Lord. We give you glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Be seated just for another moment. Hallelujah. The gates of hell have not prevailed, nor will they through the grace of God. We won't go into all of everything we were talking about Friday night, but my God, elder after elder, member after member, the amazing healings that have taken place. Listen, a lot of times we're looking and we're saying, revival's coming, revival's coming. The miracles are coming. No, the miracles, if we were able to count them, there have been dozens and dozens, hundreds of miracles. Hundreds of miracles that have taken. Don't be looking to the future so much to say, man, it's going to come one day. It's going to come one day. Listen, there are people in here that are already miracles. They're walking miracles. Reuben. If we had him stand up this morning, he's a walking miracle. A couple months ago, he was close to being worm dirt. Oh, man, that's not a good way to say it. There's a miracle right there. He was within hours of dying. Within hours. Reuben, are you going to go with us for the next 15, 20 years? I'll be here. Hallelujah. Candy and I went to the hospital several times to pray with Reuben. During the time when Delia was dying, in the natural, she was dying. She had a disease called Guillain-Barré, and they could not wake her up. She laid there. She finally, when she started coming to, she couldn't talk. She would just take a notepad or what did she have, a sketch pad or something, and would try to write out the words. We watched her come back from death. The gates of hell could not prevail against us. Hallelujah. If we went around this room, I went and visited Rex when he was just a day. The very next day, he'd probably not been here. He was there in the hospital. He would have died the next day. Praise God, Rex. Are you going on with us for another 20 years? Amen. Hallelujah. You're not going to move anywhere. Hallelujah. I hope not. If any of you do have to ever move because of ministry, that's all right. That's all right. It's the ones that are taken out that are grieved. That's what grieves me. Because they were supposed to be here to the end with us and fight the good fight. Oh, Homer, he's only had a few little minor scrapes. I can't tell you how much I appreciate this man and his ministry and his faithfulness. He's every day, just like what you're going to get out of us. We're not really racehorses. I mean, we're not the like fast. We don't have a lot of fancy cliches up here, like one-liners and like, woo, that was sharp. That was cool. That was wonderful. Man, I like that. And you can go out and repeat them the next day. But what you will get is the long distance marathon, day after day, month after month, even when it's grueling, consistency. And that's what we offer in this church. Hallelujah. Amen. Ralph, you've come back from the dead. Really? You have? I'm telling you, every one of us, I mean, we look around the room. Sister Barbara was healed of cancer. She shouldn't be here. How many appreciate Sister Barbara's ministry? Hallelujah. On and on and on and on. Hallelujah. You're healed. Lupus is, it's not going to go, it's gone in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad that David and Yolanda started coming here. How long has it been now? 5 years. Glory to God. Let's give them a great big hand. Now, I don't know. Well, I do know. If you had not been in this church or a church like it, I'll just bet you you would not be doing as well as you are right now. And she says, I confess I would not. Hallelujah. We could go on around continually. What God has done. And I'm saying that to say this. What he is so faithful. And what we're believing for. See, because a lot of times people will say, where are the miracles? Where are the miracles? You know what? You're blind when you're saying that. When you say, where are the miracles? We need to start having miracles in our church. There's a blind spot in your walk. There's a little blind spot in your walk. Because what you're saying is, you're not acknowledging the hundreds of miracles that we've already had. And if you're waiting for only the ones that are like Terrific Tom miracles, that's an old cartoon, by the way, Terrific Tom. If you're looking for the terrific miracles, and that's going to be your signification that God's in the house, then you're off base. Because he's already doing. Now, what he's going to build on is those significant miracles that even the world begins to see. But listen, there's several of you in here today that should be dead that's alive. I had the ambulance called to me 3 times in 1 year, and I testified on that Wednesday night. Hallelujah. Rex was picking me up off the dirt on the coming back from Everglades City. Are you all right, Pastor? You all right? Well, I think I'm okay. I never had a motorcycle wreck before, but I think I'm feeling pretty good. Just bounced about 15 times down the road. You sure you're okay, Pastor? Yeah, I think so. The ambulance got there. Sir, we need to take you. No, I know I'm okay. I'm okay. Okay. Hallelujah. But I was happy that Rex drove his motorcycle to my house and then come and got my motorcycle and drove it back, because I was a little bit tipsy at that point. My head had hit the ground about 15 times with a helmet on it. Praise God. Hallelujah. A couple months later, I suffered a tremendously horrible weightlifting injury that sent me to the hospital. And it was amazing that a couple months later, I had a horrible gallbladder attack. I never had to have surgery for the weightlifting injury, and I never had to have surgery for the gallbladder. You know, we just keep going on. Hallelujah. We just keep going on. He is faithful. The gates of hell have not prevailed and will not prevail. And the only woman I want to run off with is Miss Candy. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Are you happy? Yes. Are you blessed? Yes, good. So now you need to give. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Would you please? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we just love you. And we just thank you, Lord, for this celebration day. And Lord, we're just going to stand in just a moment, worship you with some music and thank you. But Lord, we're asking you to speak to our hearts in this giving. Lord, we thank you that we speak these words, that we have enough and more than enough to give unto every good work. And Immokalee has enough to have people come and people go. And that's another thing we've acknowledged Wednesday night or Friday night, that Lord, you calls us to have many to come and many to go through your Spirit, through the financial giving. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Celebrate just a little bit. We'll celebrate a little bit, then I'll motion you forward and you can bring this. Nehemiah 8 and 10. One of my favorite chapters, verses. He says, go your way. Eat the fat. Somebody said, I was trying to stay away from that. Eat the fat and drink the sweet. And send portions to them to whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah. 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 See, God does have a party side, a good side, a respectful side. Send portions to them to whom nothing is prepared. That means I got an extra piece of steak over here if you want it. You want some of my fries? You can have half my hamburger. Now, if it's my steak, don't touch it. Let's all pray together. Join hands with somebody next to you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Get down here where I'm really part of you guys. Father, we love you. Lord, we love you with all our hearts. We just thank you for all these 18 years, 18 plus. Daddy, we're asking you to take us into more. Help us to lay down our life that the life of Christ may become all that we are. We commit this body into you and the body that you'll bring in the days ahead. We give you all the praise and all the glory in the name of our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah.